Do you want the bookies then for the top 10 of Eurovision?
Oh, yes.
And I'll do it in the style of the top 10 charts. And in at number 10, it's Australia with Sheldon Riley's Not The Same. Up to 9, Slow Mo with Spain's Channel. Or is it Chanel? I don't know. At number 8, the Netherlands with S10 and her weird tooth and De Diept. Then 7, you got Norway. I'm bored now. 6, you got Poland. 5, Greece. The UK is at 4th, which still is kind of still mad, isn't it? Sam Ryder's Spaceman. Sweden, which I know we're going to come on to, at number 3, straight in at 3 after Melody Festival and last weekend. Cornelia Jacobs and Hold Me Close, or something like that. I can only see half the title. And number 2, it's Italy with Mahmoud and Blanco and Brividi. And then, any ideas on who's number 1 at the moment?
It's got to be Ukraine, surely.
Yeah, it is Ukraine. 34% chance, according to the bookies, a 34% chance of winning the Eurovision Song Contest 2022. Will be interesting. Some new songs added. And, of course, Cress and I are here to discuss them on this episode of
Nulpois.
Nulpois is shameful.
Nulpois is lack of respect for Eurovision.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nulpois is no fun.
Now, just a little thing, Martin, and I don't know if this needs to be in Correction Corner or whether we would perhaps not know this, but thank you very much, by the way, to Marky Mark. I just thought I'd bring this up since you said S10. Apparently, S10, our lovely postcode Dutch artist, apparently you pronounce her name as S-teen, not S10, because the Dutch word for 10 is teen, T-I-E-N. Well, so there you go.
That adds weight to my theory that her name is Esteen, and that's maybe like quite a well-known Dutch first name, is it? Esteen? I don't know. And then what she's done is she's gone, that sounds a bit like the Dutch for S and 10.
No, don't think you've thought that through at all.
No?
Because it's just Esteen.
Got a weird tooth. Let's move on and talk about some stuff. Going to go
Thanks
through
that,
some... welcome, by the way, to Nulpois. I'm Martin. That's Laura. Welcome. We're here. We're Eurovision fans. It's all going very exciting at the moment. I've booked some plane tickets. I'm feeling pumped about that as well. And we've got lots more songs to go through shortly, and we'll want to leave time for that on the podcast. But first, a word about the hosts, Italy.
Because they are the hosts, they've already drawn their place in the running order for Eurovision, and they're going to perform 9th in the grand final running order. I mean, it helps, obviously, that because they are not in the semi-finals as being the host, but also part of the Big Five, that, you know, that they don't have to worry if they're going to get through. They obviously are going to get through. So they're going to be 9th. Now, is this a good position for them? Normally, if you're in the first half of the running order, you don't do as well. Only Turkey in, you know, sort of since 2000 has won in quite an early draw position. That was 2003, obviously. They won and they were 4th. Mostly, you know, if we look at things like Ukraine, they were 21st. I mean, Sweden was 10th in 2015. That was their position in 2015. So that, you know, that is a bit more, but it's a slightly more, you know, I mean, obviously it's one more later than Italy has been drawn. So it is possible. It is possible. Normally, you don't really want to be in the first sort of 5, I would say. Things could change. But I would say Italy's got a strong song. I think 9th is still, you know, if they were looking to, like, hopefully get a position where they would be able to do some damage, still, like, a reasonable one. The one that no one wants is 2nd, because no one has ever won a second in the 2nd position. It's just you know, you can either be the opener and, like, excite people, or you can be the sort of finisher and people remember you, but 2nd nobody wants.
Oh, what a shame. Poor whoever ends up 2nd.
But they're not that, so that's at least something for them.
Some interesting stats there, maybe one to bear in mind for a trivia time in episodes to come, perhaps. I mentioned then that more songs have been released, and here's your chance to hear them, starting with Melody Festival, which I didn't watch this year. I did watch it last year and really enjoyed it. What was it like then?
They always put on a great show, Sweden, and this year was nothing different. There was a couple of songs I thought would do better than they did, if I'm honest. I think the favourite favourite that people had assumed would win did win, which we can have a little listen to this now. As you said, Cornelia Jacobs won in Sweden on the night, and this is Hold Me Closer.
Another strong song there, I think, from Sweden. Very nice. Cornelia, are we saying Jacobs or Jacobs? I wonder whether it's maybe Jacobs. I'm not sure. Anyway, very, very strong song, I think, from Sweden there. Perhaps, I think I preferred Voices, two same Voices from last year, but very, very good. As always, you know you're going to get some quality from Sweden. Don't quite understand the staging that they used on the night, though. I've just been watching the video of it, and she's just, what's that big green ball behind her?
Yeah, I didn't really get that either. Very sort of modern song. You could imagine hearing this on the radio. There was a couple of others I was quite surprised did so well, and some that I thought would do a bit better. Like I was saying, My Way was, I really enjoyed the song My Way. It had quite a strong, powerful message, but it just didn't seem to hit home with the audience on the night for some reason, even though, you know, it was a, I would have preferred that to have gone through I think this is Tone, I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it, I can't remember, but yeah, but that didn't do as well, and a few others did that I didn't think deserved to as much. But there you go, that is the way of Eurovision. But I think the one that most people expected to win did, with Cornelia. I don't know if that's going to trouble really the top spots, that one.
Perhaps not. Just with the field as it is at the moment, with quite a few slow ballady ones, I wonder whether that one will push through a little bit more than it maybe would have done had there been lots more upbeat songs. I'm not sure. Moving on though now to Switzerland. He's 28 years old. He's from Appenzell and his name is Marius Bär. And this is his song, Boys Do Cry.
Mountains, they crumble, and rivers, they run dry. And oh, 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 boys do cry.
Yes, Marius Bär taking the opposite tact from Robert Smith from The Cure and saying boys do cry, actually. They do cry. I think it's funny that we listened to this after Sweden's entry, because I feel like it's got a similar kind of vibe. What do you think, Martin?
Would you say? I don't think it does.
I don't mean kind of like lyrically or anything. I just think in his kind of, they've both got that kind of modern pop star kind of, the way they're singing is quite sort of modern. They put a lot of emphasis, their voice is quite stylized, I would say, and it, the similar kind of tempo. It's not a fast song again.
Yeah, I think this is quite tender.
Yes,
in its it's a tender song. There's a lot of emotion there, and I think that is becoming a bit of a theme from a certain section of the Eurovision entries this year. The emotional ones, or sorry, the slow ones are really emotional, and there seems to be in the main a lot of passion behind them. Very often when you see a lot all doing the same thing, that means those are the ones that aren't going to do as well, because one isn't going to put their head above the parapet and be better than all the others. But I think that's a nice song. I'm not going to say it's not a winner unnecessarily, but I think it's a nice song. And you could probably, if you were a boy, have a little bit of a cry to it as well. Marius Bär, he's the bear, Mr. Grizzly. And that's the song, Boys Do Cry, from Switzerland. Moving on then with some more releases. And Cyprus have announced who they're going to be sending to Turin 2022. The song is called Ella, and this is Andromache.
Take my pain away, Ella, 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 Ella.
Now, I think this is quite typical of Cyprus, where, you know, that they're always got a bit of a beat behind them and they know how to kind of give that sort of upbeat tempo, and they've done it again.
Yeah, a slight Eastern feel to it as well, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And they're very good at that. You know, remember, obviously, Fuego some time ago, that was, you know, excellent. I bloody love Fuego. I watched that again recently, and I was just like, oh, why didn't it win? Obviously, it lost out to Toy in the end. But this has got a bit more understated feel of that. I think it's not quite got the sort of fieriness of that, if you excuse the pun. But I still like it. You know, she's good. I think I'll be interested to see what the staging will be like. But yeah, I like this.
Yeah, very typical Eurovision fodder, I think. It's another one of those ones where you probably will never hear music like this. Certainly in this country, in the UK, you won't hear that very, very often. And then May rolls round and all of a sudden it's like, hey, bit of this going on. So it certainly does feel of the Eurovision songbook, as it were. Not that makes it bad, because it's, I agree, like it. Ella is the song from Cyprus. Belgium now then, my goodness, rattling through some of these, but as you can imagine, this is the point in time where loads and loads of songs come out all
we are a bit delayed, obviously, because we focus on the UK song last time, so that's why we're a little bit behind with all of this. But yes, this is Belgium we're looking at next, and Jeremy Maquies, I think it might be said, and this is Miss You, which he's going to perform. I'm gonna miss you. I mean, I think this is, again, obviously it's a bit of a slower beat, but I really like it. I think he's got a great voice, and it does feel a little bit different, I think, just because it just feels a bit fresher. I'm not sure why, though. What do you think, Martin?
I really like this. I think this sounds great. Starts quite slow, gets going a little bit more towards the middle. A real, very, very modern, contemporary sound.
Yeah, I suppose that's the thing. It isn't really a ballad or a slow. It obviously starts slow, like you said, but then it does have a bit of a beat into it as it gets going on. And I think that maybe is what makes it a bit more interesting. And I think he's got a good voice as well. It's interesting. Mm. He did win The Voice Belgique in 2021. He won The Voice, and apparently he also signed for a football club, so he's just doing everything. Old Jeremy.
well done, Jeremy, and this is sounding great. I got high hopes for this one. As I was saying, very contemporary, very modern, and a bit of passion in there as well. This could do well.
I mean, Belgium, you know, last year really didn't do, you know, that well, and I think this could be a bit of a return for them.
Off to the 1970s now, and Iceland, where Sigur, Beta and Elin have won Song for Keppen, which is the Icelandic.
Sorry, why are you saying off to the 1970s? Why are you saying
just
that?
Just look at them.
They don't look like they're from the 1970s.
They
don't at all. What are you talking about?
One of them's wearing some floral curtains.
Okay, fine. Why why have you got to be so disparaging?
I like the 1970s. It's a great time. Yeah. Really, really great time.
Sometimes your attitudes are stuck in it.
Here's the song. Right, Kresh, do you want to have a go at pronouncing this? I think this is Meth Haikandi Sol. That would be my...
There you go. You've pronounced it, so I don't have to. Thank you for that.
Giving that a go. Sounds like it's from the 1970s as well, doesn't it?
Very sort of quiet, gentle, folkish number. Quite pleasant. They've got, you know, very sort of gentle, nice voices. Very different to Dardi, isn't it? It's so... And to Tari. Very, very different. Very chill. But, and like you said, you know, kind of more folkish and traditional. I like it. I don't know if it's going to stand out, really. I think it's going to get a bit forgotten, unfortunately.
These, by the way, just to describe them, they look like sisters. Are they sisters? I don't know whether they're related or not. They look quite similar. They've got curly blonde hair, the three of them, and they stand there in the 1970s, in their 1970s garb. One has a hat. And they just perform these songs. It's a very simple song, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but it is it's very simple, it's very pure. They sing it very well, but as you say, I'm not sure it necessarily has what it takes to stand out enough. It maybe might just be a bit of a switch-off moment. I don't know whether it captures people's attention in the way that Dorothy did.
No, I would say it doesn't at all. Very, very understated. I think they're brunettes, by the way. I don't think they are blonde. I think it's just that they've got this, they've kind of in the background, they've got this like sort of starry night background shining on them, which is kind of all part of the, I guess it's supposed to sort of take you as if you're on like a traveling through the night, really, because it feels like that's the kind of song you might hear. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to stand out, but I like them. I like them. I just don't know if it's, I'd like to see it in the final though, because it'd be nice to have that as a kind of sort of break between some of the madness.
Da-da-da-da-da-da, Muscat, ba-da-ba-da-da. Yes, oh. It's Emma Muscat, ba-da-da-da-da. That's the theme tune to Top Cat, right.
Yes.
Introducing Malta's Emma Muscat, who,
yes.
And Emma's just unveiled the Eurovision songs that she is sending, along with the whole of Malta, to Turin. I am what I am.
Again, another song, you know, quite empowering song we had last year from Malta, Je Me Casse, and that was a bit funkier, I would say. This is a bit, they played it a bit straighter, but it's still got that kind of sort of empowering message behind it. It doesn't quite go all Gloria Gaynor on it, but, you know, which I would have loved.
It's getting there.
It is getting there, yeah. No, I like this again. I think it does need a bit of oomph behind it, though, and I'm just, maybe they'll get that from the staging.
Perhaps. I think she's got a great voice. It's a very powerful song. There's that
yeah.
gospel element behind it. It's uplifting. It makes you feel really, really good about yourself. And I think a lot of people might be in need of that at the moment. She's clearly a very enigmatic performer. You can see that just from looking at her and the way that she's delivering this song. I think this is powerful, and this could well do well. I certainly like it.
Yes, I do as well. I do like it. And I think it could stand out a bit compared to some of the other entries, just depending what they do with it and like whereabouts it places. But yeah, what possibly want to watch this one. We'll see.
Just two more to go now from the ones that have been released that we haven't mentioned already on the podcast. Mauro will be representing Portugal in Turin. And this is the song. It's called Saudade, Saudade.
Saudade, Saudade. Nothing more that I can say.
So yes, I guess it's kind of more Saudade,
yeah,
isn't it?
So
the way
yeah.
she kind of, but not, yeah. I kind of want to not like this one because it's so sort of again chill and downbeat, but they're so into it, and they kind of so
properly into it, aren't they?
Like, they're really into it, closing their eyes and kind of clapping away, and I kind of dig that. I think it's good. I again, you know, it's the same old thing we keep saying. I get a bit sick of saying it. I just don't know where, you know, if it's going to get a bit lost amongst everything else. They've won with this kind of song before. I don't think it's quite got the same emotional pull as the song that won. I've forgotten the name of it for Portugal.
Oh,
now
yes,
but
Little Mousy Man. Yeah, 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 yeah. I can't remember.
Little Mouse Man, yes. We will get the actual name of the song. But you know what I mean? It's kind of, yeah, not quite there with me in terms of like the pull.
I think the fact that that the staging is very, very simple could either work in their favour or really, really work against them. And I do worry that it's the latter.
This is what I'm thinking.
It's just six people sitting in a semicircle and singing. I mean, I could imagine them all joining hands and doing a bit of Kumbaya once they finish this one.
Yes.
But it's
very earnest.
It is very earnest. And like I said, there's quite a lot of earnest and emotional songs in Eurovision this year, which maybe will make this blend into the background a little bit more. But having said that, and I feel like I'm saying this quite a lot now about a lot of Eurovision entries, her heart's clearly in it. She clearly really likes the song. I like her. I think
she loves it.
She does. She does love it. It's just there's too many like this in Eurovision this year.
It's interesting, isn't it? Considering the one that won it last year, normally people expect, you know, a couple of them to be similar to the one that won it. And I don't think many really have gone the sort of hard, like, or like any kind of rock route. Okay, we've got the Rasmus a little bit. There are one or two entries. Salvador Sobral, by the way, of course, is who we were talking about, the Portuguese singer who won with Amar Pelos Dois. That's probably not how you pronounce it either, but thank you to Portugal, I guess. It would be interesting to see, yeah, if they decide to do anything more with this. Or I think they'll just probably leave it stripped back, won't they?
I would have thought so. I can't see them changing it. And her, the way about her. I, this isn't going to work with a dance routine or with moving around. It works in the way that they've done it, with them just sitting down.
Yes, it does,
I'm just not sure that Eurovision is the right place to showcase that song. Eurovision,
yeah,
you need something eye-catching. You need to stand out from the crowd. And she's just managed to wear a multicoloured pair of trousers. And that is all there seems to be in terms of it standing out. Lovely
song. And they're clapping away.
Yeah? Really nice. But maybe just not what's required.
Not quite.
Certainly
we'll see.
For me.
We'll see.
We'll see. One more to bring you very, very quickly. Armenia. Rosalyn has come out with Snap.
Snap.
Snap in one, two. Where are you? You're stealing my heart. Snap in three.
Wouldn't have expected this sort of song from Armenia, it's a welcome break from some of the things that they've done before, something a little bit different from them. Not necessarily sure it's different from anything else that's
going on. It isn't, because it really, you know, it reminds me of Iceland quite a bit. It's kind of like a sort of soft, folky sound, isn't it? Again, very pleasant, very nice. I don't know. You know, it'd be interesting. I keep saying this. I want to stop myself saying it, but is she going to be doing anything interesting with the staging? We just don't know, obviously. I'm sorry I keep saying this. I'm boring myself by saying it, but it feels like it would be another where she just stands there and sings and they have a pretty background. And it would be nice to see some props and things. Who knows? She might, you know, do a bit, but there's only so much you could do with these kind of slower numbers without upsetting the whole balance of the song. But I think she's got a lovely voice. I do welcome some of these kind of softer songs, though, that they are nice, and it is a beautiful song.
Yeah, absolutely. That is all the songs at the time of recording that are out.
There's only one left.
Yeah, waiting on Azerbaijan. And of course, we're going to bring that to you in the next edition of the podcast. Thoughts, please, on that, and the way to get in touch coming up at the end of the podcast.
Yes, indeed. And I think it's just worth very quickly mentioning, and this might have come out by the time you listen to it, depending if you're eager to listen to us right at the beginning when we broadcast this or when you listen. But yeah, the American Song Contest is coming, Martin, very soon.
Oh, Yankee Doodle, yes. The American Song Contest presented by Kelly Clarkson and bizarrely Snoop Dogg. And featuring Michael Bolton and other assorted assorted randomness. That is going to be happening on the 21st of March. That's when it begins. But it runs for a very long time. It's, as far as we can tell, completely different from the Eurovision Song Contest, really, in its
utterly
format.
Different, yeah.
Because it runs over a number of weeks. They're building up, they're whittling down the states and territories of the United States. I think it's going to be interesting. We might talk about this in the next edition of the podcast. Get somebody who's actually American, but also really likes the Eurovision Song Contest. Samantha Ross from the 12 Points from America podcast. We're hopefully going to have a chat with Sam and just talk about what she makes of it as an American Eurovision fan. So I think that's going to be really, really interesting. Can I just say, before we get on to correspondence, all of the songs so far, certainly the ones that we talked about in this episode, as a UK supporter here, have made me feel quite positive. I do think, and maybe it's just because we talked about it a lot and therefore I've been exposed to it more, but Sam Ryder's song, Spaceman, has been in my head. I've been singing it quite a lot. I think it stands out from certainly lots of these emotional ones that don't really go anywhere. I think it definitely stands out. I'm not saying it's right up there,
no.
But I certainly think that it stands a chance of being the one of the ones that people are talking about as being significant ones to watch.
I can't commit to it, Martin. I can't commit to the optimism. It just worries me. Shall I tell you, by the way, you go through the odds early on with the top 10. Shall I tell you what's last, by the way, odds?
Oh, yeah, go on.
The very last is the one you loved and the one I was like, well, that's not going to go anywhere. It's Slovenia's LPS with Disco. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I loved it, but I did like it, definitely.
Yeah, were like, oh, I like it. And I was like, oh, it's not going to go anywhere. And you were very offended. Well, look at it now, Martin. It's gone nowhere. It's at the bottom.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it? Where's old Latvia there? Oh, 27th for Citizen.
Yes, it's interesting,
salad.
Isn't it? I was looking at that. I mean, obviously, let's just say this again. The odds mean nothing at this stage because we haven't seen the staging or the rehearsals or anything like that. Yeah, Latvia is 27th, whereas, where was it now? Norway with a similar silly song is 7th. With the Subwoofer and Give That Wolf a Banana. I would have thought they'd be sort of similar areas of the board at the moment, but no, Norway is way higher than Latvia, despite them both being completely nonsensical songs.
Well, it wouldn't be Eurovision if there wasn't some nonsense thrown in. That's what we love about it. Thank you very much for making your way through this edition of Nul Poix. It's been really good. I mean, I like this time of year where all the songs are coming out and you get to just get your first initial impressions of them, and always want to hear from you as to what you're hearing, what you're enjoying, the songs that are standing out to you, the ones that you've completely forgotten about and have paled into insignificance but you thought might do well. Always welcome, and Cress has those ways that you can get in touch with me and her.
We would like to still hear your sort of thoughts on all these entries, how you think the UK possibly stands with them. So we are @Poixnul on Twitter, we are Nul Poix Podcast on Instagram, and thanks again to Marky Mark who contacted us by email. You could do the same. It's nulpoixpodcast@gmail.com. He says, very much enjoying your podcast, very pleased you are so positive about the UK entry. It's a very credible song. He's a great personality, Sam Ryder, that is, and can sing live, so the ingredients couldn't be much better. I think it'll all come down, as we've all been saying, to proper staging, something the BBC has got so wrong in recent years. I pray they get it right this time for Sam. So thanks for your thoughts there, Mark, and if you'd like to do the same, remember it's nulpoixpodcast@gmail.com.
Next week then, talking all about the American Song Contest, which I fear is going to be a little bit lost on us because of how close it is to the actual Eurovision. But, you know, we'll try and cover it best we can, chatting hopefully to Sam Ross. So all of that to come next week on the next edition of Nul Poix.